wanted to share with you today is what our experience has been in this town gown partnership. The town, of course, or the public health nurses that are actually working in the community, and the gown, of course, is the academics who are trying to put an evidence-based practice into practice out in the community. And what we have experienced in our brief time in this partnership. As you know, I'm Linda Bullock, but I'd like to introduce Dr. Phyllis Shorps, who surprised me with her presence here today. She's a professor at Johns Hopkins University and is actually the PI on the grant. But we have other partners in crime with us. It's Jacqueline Campbell, Linda Pugh. Karen Mickey was a research nurse that was working on my team that really was instrumental in putting together the data that you're going to hear today. And then we can't neglect the whole Dove research team, which is comprised of research nurses and, as I said, public health nurses out in the field in both places. We can't go without recognizing our funding source, and this is an R01 that was awarded by NINR to Dr. Phyllis Shorps as being the PI at Johns Hopkins University. We know that domestic violence does have an effect on children, and most of the time the violence happens in homes where women do have children. And some of the health effects that we know occur are the social, behavioral, emotional, and cognitive issues, and also there are a lot of health problems, somatic problems, sleeping problems, eating disorders, regression in language skills and toilet training, headaches. These are some of the documented effects that the violence, witnessing the violence, has on the children. So we know that there's a huge issue. We also know that there are prenatal home visitation programs for high-risk pregnancies trying to get better babies here. But what hasn't really happened in the past is combining the domestic violence, a domestic violence intervention with the home visiting. If you know anything about David Old's program, he asked at two different times he asked about abuse. Once very early after the home visitor starts coming to see the woman, and once immediately after the pregnancy. And that picks up some violence, but we're not sure how much violence it does pick up. So what we wanted to do is develop an empowerment intervention that we could deliver through prenatal home visitation programs. Hence came the program DOVE, the Domestic Violence Enhanced Home Visitation Program. And the purpose of this was to test a home visitation intervention to reduce the domestic violence and improve the outcome in the pregnant woman and during the postpartum period with her children. So DOVE is a highly structured, nurse-administered domestic violence home visitation program. It's designed to educate the mothers and reduce their overall risk for violence during pregnancy and postpartum. The program was funded to intervene with 380 pregnant women who screened positive for IPV in the past year, and they have to be participating in a prenatal home visitation program. There's going to be an urban-rural comparison, so there's 180 women that will be recruited from Baltimore area and 180 from rural settings in Missouri. And then we are also going to be intervening with 20 women from David Old's program, the Family Nurse Partnership Program. And we're using the program in Kansas City. Missouri's lucky enough that we have 4 different sites of David Old's program, but we're going to be targeting the Kansas City site. The outcomes of the DOVE study is that there's going to be nursing assessments of both the women and the children, and we do that at baseline when the woman's less than 31 weeks gestation. We do another assessment at around the delivery. We don't go to the hospital. It's just around the time of delivery. And then we do it at 3, 6, 12, 18, and 24 months. The ones that are stored are telephone interviews. All of the rest are at the woman's home or at a location that she feels safe for us coming. to do the assessments. The things that we are measuring at those assessment times, we do an extensive IPV history of abuse, her level of danger using Jackie Campbell's homicide assessment, our danger assessment. We look at her safety behaviors and also her use of resources. We look at her mental health, so using the depression scales. We look at parenting stress with the PSI, and then some of her parenting practices like using the home inventory. Infant-related factors are physical and mental development. We're using the BINS, the Bailey Infant Neurodevelopmental Screener, as well as height and growth. And we're also going to be looking at whether the child is actually injured during the time we're intervening with them. 5 minutes, okay. And these are the sites that we're using in Missouri. You can see that we're all over the state. We are in Kansas City and part of St. Louis, but predominantly we're in more of the rural states. The blue are the control sites and the red are the intervention. The white is is not a lake. It's actually, that's where the University of Missouri is located. So we travel out to meet the women in all of these sites. So we have 12 different sites, and we're using the Missouri Community Home Visitation Program. And as I've already said, women must screen positive for IPV in the past year. So what was our preparation? What I'm really wanting to talk to you about today is the trouble that we have had in recruitment. And I'm going to give you sort of the short of this. What we found is that recruitment has been very difficult, and we didn't know whether it was because the home visitors weren't actually screening the women. They were to screen the woman for violence and then refer to us. And either that wasn't happening or the women weren't talking, because in a similar population, I was picking up in another study where I sent my research nurses out of a prevalence of 35%. We, over the last 2 years, have conducted 5 different workshops. These are extensive workshops with the public health nurses, trying to get them on board with IPV screening. And we have done numerous things to get them to do the screening. One of the things that we have found is, or some of the things, the challenges we have found over this two-year period is, first of all, the home visitors had a real lack of educational preparation, especially regarding research protocol and understanding how to follow research protocol. There was a lack of understanding of the importance of screening for domestic violence. And then another thing is just our sheer distance of trying to keep them on board with the study. So what we noticed is that no one was being referred. And as I already said, we thought that there was two issues going on that could be happening. So in July, just this past July, the Missouri Department of Health was going to hold another training. This was the 5th one, where we brought in Jose Riviera from New York City. Some of you may know him, to work with the home visitors. And we were also going to be doing some stuff with them with Dove. So what we thought, we should go ahead and survey them and run focus groups, trying to understand why they were not going to, what was happening out in the field, because we really truly did not understand what was going on. So from the survey, one of the things that we saw, and what we did, we surveyed, there was about 50 people at this seminar, but only 23 turned in a survey, which is sort of telling. But those that did, 9 of those were abused, 14 did not admit to any abuse. But if you look down, they look about similar in age, they look about similar years education. Their years in the health care, the non-abused were there a little bit longer, but the abused women claim to be working more years in IPV. And also those that admitted to abuse had gone through all 5 of our trainings. This was their 5th training. Now, whether they were just more comfortable in revealing the abuse, we really don't know, but I think this is a real telling slide. The other thing that really came home was how much abuse that had been in their past. So this slide is a little bit complicated, but if you look at the total on the far right side for you, 6 of the 9 had experienced childhood abuse. If you notice, there was 4 physical, 5 sexual, 5 emotional. Witness of childhood or witnessing abuse during their childhood, there was 8 of them. One of the most alarming things to me was that 2 of these women admitted to having actually witnessed sexual abuse happening. And then as an adult, we had 7 that were also had been abused as an adult. So these women had a lot of abuse in their past, and I can only imagine what the PTSD must be when we're asking them to go out and do the screening themselves. So then we ran focus groups with this. On the second day, we ran the focus group. So now this was half of the people that had attended the first day. So I don't know how many of those had actually answered the survey and how many had not. This may be 26 different women from the survey. But we asked them, what was it like to work with women experiencing IPV? And what we heard is that they really felt helpless out there, helpless to find solutions in our resources, which in rural areas, there are limited resources. They felt responsible for the women. They really felt fearful for their own safety. They felt anxious and stressful that he was essentially going to be walking in. And we heard this over and over in many of the questions we asked. And then the real difficulty in how to hold that balance between caring and professionalism. They were really struggling with that. When we asked about what were their fears of initiating the screening, making a fool of myself, not knowing what to say, even though they had had 5 trainings, fear of stirring the pot, that they were only going to make it worse for the woman. That came out quite a bit in many of the different focus groups. Judgment call of what was the best time to initiate it, so they just didn't initiate it at all. Being careful not to be too judgmental, and fear of how to handle the abuser if he walked in. 2 minutes. I'm almost done. What do you feel would be the repercussions of screening and intervening? They felt like, well, if I screen and I don't have any resources, then where have I left the woman? Not knowing what to do next. They really feared about having to hotline, whether that would tear down their relationship. Many of these women work really hard to get inside the home. And what they were fearing is if they started to stir the pot, would they not be allowed into the home? They had fear of increasing her harm. And again, the fear of handling the abuser if he walks in. Plus, in this question, they said in this rural area, they know the abuser. What would they do when they saw him in town? And then we ask them, well, okay, so when you have worked with women experiencing abuse, what has helped you to intervene with them, these women? And they talked about building relationship and rapport and trust, that they felt like it took a lot of time before they could actually ask the question. They thought bringing it up just casually in the conversation was better than actually going in and doing the screening. Using non-judgmental body language, educating her on what normal relationships were might help them get to the abnormal relationships, and of course showing respect. And when we ask how had the workshop changed their practice today, and many of them thought for the first time they really understood the cycle of violence, even though we had done it 5 different times. Rethinking stirring the pot wasn't maybe the best. Maybe they needed to decrease their own fear. They had learned. Jose Riviera did a great job of what to do when the abuser walked in. They felt like they had some safety measures there. And they finally got the idea that they might be actually victimizing the client by not asking. So we felt like we had really made a big step here. So since the workshops, what we have done, we've changed the way we're recruiting in Missouri. The home visitors only now are having to ask her to sign the permission slip to give her name and number to the research team, and then we're going out and screening the women for abuse. If they do not want to screen for abuse, or do, even if we say, even if you're screening and she says no, go ahead and get her to sign a slip and we'll go out and screen her, with the idea that many of these women may not be talking to their home visitor. And what our early findings have been is that the home visitors have both personal and professional issues when addressing IVP with their clients, especially in rural areas, that town and gown partnerships can be effective in bringing evidence-based interventions to the practice arena, and that both town and gown must really actively participate in the recruiting process to be successful.